you're tuned to WBAI at 99.5 on the FM dial. That's where you're tuned to specifically on the dial, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. I'm Michael G. Haskins in studio with Katie Halper. Last week, the U.S. Senate's Finance Committee approved fast-tracking the controversial trade deal known as the Trans-Pacific Partnership. The deal involves a dozen countries who control 40% of the world's trade and has been heavily criticized for the rush and secrecy surrounding its writing. I'm privileged to introduce our next guest, Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown, who has been at the forefront of the fight against the TPP. Senator, good morning, and thank you so much for taking time out to join us today.
We're glad to be with you. Thank you.
All right. So along with other progressive members of the Senate, like Vermont's Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts, you have been outspoken against this trade deal. What are your biggest concerns?
It's the same story. The presidents of both parties over the last 20 years have made promises with trade deals that they push through Congress. It'll increase jobs. It never does. That wages will go up as a result. They never do. These trade deals put us in a relationship with our trading partners who don't follow the same rules in terms of labor and standards, health standards, currency manipulation. We also know from Trans-Pacific Partnership that China, there's no provision in there to keep China from coming in the back door 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now without a vote of Congress saying yes to it. And ultimately, it's a shift of power from democratically elected governments to corporations. Philip Morris, for instance, has threatened to sue a number of countries if they pass public health, anti-smoking, protect our children laws. And sometimes these countries have backed down and not passed those laws as a result of that corporate intimidation. Other times, they've actually gone to court to overturn, gone to a tribunal, made up of a panel not from that country, to overturn a law democratically attained in that country. So it's a huge shift of power to corporations to dumb down food safety, worker safety, public health standards.
Yeah, even as you say that, I am extraordinarily uncomfortable at thinking about where we are in this country. But nonetheless, after President Obama accused the opposition of spreading misinformation and being dishonest, you and Senator Warren sent a letter to the president urging him to finally disclose the treaty's text. Tell us about this, please.
Yeah, I have seen parts of that text, but we don't have full access to it. In fact, interestingly, my staff, which has security clearance, has more access to documents about Iran sanctions or CIA or Department of Defense documents than it does to the text of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. However, in hundreds of corporations, CEOs and corporate lobbyists and lawyers and others for companies all over the country, some of the most notable countries in our country have been on the inside of this in so-called advisory panels, hundreds of them. So they, in essence, have had more access to this text than have congressional staff, and in some cases more than House and Senate members. So if the president's going to say we're wrong about this, and I don't think this trade agreement's much different from what he was critical of in his 08 campaign, the North American Free Trade Agreement. But if this is markedly different, his staff should explain it better and answer questions and not obfuscate, and they should open up the text to this so not just members of Congress and staff can see it, but that the public can examine it and see what they think.
That the public can examine it, exactly. I mean, is this the first time this kind of thing has happened where that, you know, Congress has been restricted and the staff has been restricted from seeing these important deals?
Secrecy's always been too much a part of these, but this seems to be the extreme because so many people have asked to see it in this case. Some trade agreements have been less important. This trade agreement, TPA, the fast track, will govern potentially 60% of the world's economy with these 12 countries that you mentioned, coupled with the next agreement that would be negotiated under fast track called the TTIP. That's the U.S. European Union agreement. So those, and then when you bring, if you bring China in the back door, it's 70 or 80% of the world's economy. So this one, the stakes are higher in this one. The digging in by the U.S. trade rep seems greater in terms of their just resistance to answering questions and talking to us about what's in this and letting us actually see a very complicated trading agreement. They will say, well, you can't negotiate with your trading partners when everybody gets to see the text, and there'll be the pressure that way. But there's two answers to that. One is corporations in the U.S. already are mostly at the table putting pressure on already. And second, 9 of the 29 chapters of this trade agreement are actually finished, and most of the other 20 are very near to completion. So showing us the agreement now would not at all burden the negotiators, or would not at all blow up the negotiations.
Mm-hmm. You're generous with your time, Senator Brown. I have a couple of other questions before you go. What role did multinational companies play in writing the deal, and how can it potentially affect our own labor, environmental, and consumer protection laws?
Well, the U.S. trade rep would say they played no role, but there were 500 of some of the 500 plus of them, and a handful of labor people too, to be fair, but the preponderance on most of these advisory panels were all industry or close to all industry. So they were whispering in the ear of our trade negotiators and looking at the text and saying how this would work or wouldn't work for them. But it really is a shift of power to them. I'll give you a really quick example. The government of Australia passed a plain packaging tobacco law, particularly to keep cigarettes out of the hands of kids. Legislature there passed it. The Supreme Court of Australia passed it, upheld it 6-1. Yet under the Hong Kong's Australia trade agreement, Philip Morris set up a subsidiary in Hong Kong and then sued the government of Australia. The three people making the decision on whether this public health law should stand, none of them are from Australia, is my understanding, and making a decision about an Australia democratic elected rule. That apply that to our own labor standards, environmental, food safety, all the things that we've fought for as progressives have fought for 100 years and for 100 years in this country, to raise our living standards for everyone, safe drinking water, clean air, civil rights, women's rights, protections for the disabled, all these kinds of things that corporations can't overturn in our country, but can they use this so-called investor state dispute settlement, this provision in the law where corporations are allowed to sue governments of another country.
Mm-hmm. And why is this fast-tracking deal so worrisome to you and to many of us?
Well, it's worrisome for all those reasons. It's worrisome that it's lost jobs. It's worrisome that China could get a backdoor entry into it. It's worrisome because they don't play in by the same rules we do in terms of currency and wages and labor standards and dumping their waste, their environmental rules. And last, it's my biggest worry, and maybe this is what this agreement's about more than anything else. The core of it is to give corporations standing in tribunals all over the world in a way that frankly could undercut the things that we have fought so hard for in this country to protect the public and allow young people opportunity and low-income people to join the middle class.
And as we say goodbye, and again, thank you for your time this morning, what is the timetable, and what can people do right now? Is this a done deal? Is this anything that we can do?
It's obviously not a done deal. They're fast-tracking Fast Track itself. But people should weigh in. I mean, this is going to be a close vote. It wasn't a close voting committee. It never is. Those committees, Ways and Means and Finance Committee and the Senate, are sort of stacked to free traders, frankly, always have been as far as I know. But on the Senate floor, this is beatable. On the House floor, it's even more beatable, and people should weigh in with their members of Congress, their House members, their Senate members. And it's not about rallies and demonstrations. It's really about calls and letters and emails and text messages and anything you can do to put pressure on members of Congress.